What makes you strange on purpose?
I think I'm a perfectionist.
I don't know anything.
I don't know, I'm just me. I'm a little weirdo.
I'm just me.
My unwillingness to stay stagnant.
I can only be like authentically myself.
The best way I can answer this question is with describing a picture. It's this guy riding a motorcycle while he's reading a book called How to Ride a Motorcycle.
Welcome to the Strange on Purpose podcast. I'm Izzy. Let's get rolling. I'm Izzy, and I'm ecstatic for my guest today. I am so happy to be jumping back on and recording more episodes. And when we think about sneakers, we think about the big brands out there, the Nikes, the Adidas, the New Balance, the Reeboks, the XYZ brand. But when we talk about the people actually in the weeds building their own brands from scratch, this guy's name gets thrown around a lot. So I am ecstatic to have on Mateen Zahr. How's it going, man?
It's going really well. I'm really honored to be here. Anytime somebody will have me and listen to my story and the journeys, it's always an honor. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, dude. So what are you working on? Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah. So again, my name is Mateen Zahr. I'm 25, graduated from USC a couple years ago with a real estate development major, and I was working in that field for a little bit. And then I'm just a sneaker guy at heart. So I really wanted to change a pace from that industry, and I decided to hop into footwear and get myself into the fashion industry. So in short, I would say I'm just a shoe dog.
Shoe dog. I love that.
Yeah.
So what are you working on?
So right now what I'm working on in a broad spectrum is, as far as the brand goes, is just building the next premier line of footwear and apparel in the industry. Like you mentioned, you know, we've seen these few main players dominate the market for a while. And that's not to say that they won't continue to dominate the market, but I've just seen the general market expand and the consumer market expand over the years. And so I figured it's the perfect time for a new brand to be able to be introduced to the market and thrive and grow, not to necessarily compete head to head with those big guys, but still to have some space in the industry and to make a name for themselves.
So if anybody's looking at what you're building, they're thinking like, wow, this guy is kind of crazy. Like, he has competitors that are Reebok and those and Nike, the Adidas's of the world, the Versace's of the world, all these different companies that do have some type of premium footwear is, in a sense, competition for you. So why'd you, I know you're a shoe dog, but why'd you decide, you know what, I'm going to attack this head on, and knowing that this is a crowded market, I'm going to kind of carve out a niche for myself here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've seen people get tired of kind of the same old, not to say that it's only the same old, but it's often repeated a lot. And so introducing something new to the market with new silhouettes and new ideas and new innovations is what got me going, because oftentimes a brand will start and then they will trap themselves in a sort of narrative of their brand. And from there, they can't really grow or expand outside of what they're doing, what they've done previously. And so that's why I decided to get into kind of introduce some new innovations to the market.
What are those innovations as far as like what you can tell me specifically? Yeah.
So what I'm working on for this first collection, or what I worked on for this first collection, is intertwining jewelry and footwear. So social studies is at its core, an examination and experimentation of fashion's past by blending realms of the industry into the modern footwear space. So I take inspiration from different realms of fashion, for example, in this first collection, jewelry, and I brought it into the footwear space, where the conventional jewelry piece, whether it be necklace or bracelet, you know, depending on its length, is now both an aesthetic part of the shoe and also a functional part of the shoe, where it's actually, in this case, the lacing mechanism of the shoe.
looking at it from an outsider's perspective, like people are like some of my family, like I'm a shoe dog like you, but a lot of my family, they look at shoes and they just see them as shoes.
Right.
So when did shoes start to be more and sneakers start to be more than just an object to you?
For me, it's always been like that. For me, I've been into it my whole life, so I've always seen them as a form of art, and I've always seen a value in shoes beyond just, you know, them being footwear. I've seen from a collector's standpoint, and I guess from a monetary standpoint as well, not to the same degree as, let's say, watches are, where you can wear it and then, you know, the value is still there years later. But definitely when the whole resale market and the whole aftermarket, secondary market started, even before StockX, like let's say, you know, Flight Club early days, Riff early days, that I would say that's what really started it for the general public, giving these shoes a value as if they were a piece of art, aside from just being footwear.
So you have parents that are immigrants. I just want to talk about that a little bit, because a lot of immigrant parents, and I've had a ton of people on this podcast that have immigrant parents that tend to, in a sense, play it safe and say, you should go be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you should be like, you should follow these paths because that's where you're going to make your money. And that's where you're going to be able to have kids and build a family, all that stuff. So how did your parents react to you saying, you know what, I'm going to start a shoe brand after graduating from USC with a real estate degree?
Yes. Yeah, so I come from Persian descent. My parents moved here from Iran after the revolution in 79.
Yeah.
So long story short, they were pretty chill with it, actually.
Wow.
My dad is in the egg donor and fertility space. He runs an egg donor and fertility agency.
Okay.
And so, egg donor and surrogacy agency. And so since he does something kind of different and he's found some success in it, he was open to me kind of chasing this dream. And I explained to him, you know, I was in real estate, which is playing it safe. A lot of people do that. And there's good money in it, no doubt. Definitely something that I plan on still being a part of in the future. But I was telling him when I first started this that, like, I'm young and this is what I want to do. If I don't do it now, I'm really going to regret it. Like, success is great, you know, making money is great. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing what you love or trying to at least do what you love and have a passion for something and make some money at the same time, that's the real end goal. Like, that's real success. So I explained that to him, and I think he was able to relate to that. And both my parents had my back on that, thankfully.
So going back to the brand a little bit, obviously, like, right now is a pretty tough time to be selling anything with the supply chain issues or whatever you want to call it at this point that's going on all over the world, but specifically, obviously, here in the States. So I want to talk about, like, some of the hurdles that you had to jump over that you didn't know about when you first started the brand. So a lot of people that are tuning in today are pretty naive and thinking, like, you know what, I'll go to Japan, talk to somebody, we'll develop a sneaker, it'll be done, and by the time I get back, we'll have samples, we'll have this, and they'll be ready to go to market. So talk about that process a little bit and, like, what you prepared for that didn't happen and what you didn't prepare for that did happen.
Yeah. I started to do this right before COVID.
Yeah.
So that made it even more difficult. I mean, the footwear development process to begin with is a long, tedious process. And I mean, sometimes you're talking literal millimeter difference in measurements. And that makes all the difference in the shoe design. And so to deal with that at the beginning of COVID, when obviously a lot of people weren't working, there were a lot of factories closed, I had to really pivot the way that I was working, the people that I was working with. I was looking at the time before, I was looking into a lot of some domestic manufacturing or sorry, yeah. I was looking at overseas manufacturing, and then I had to pivot to domestic manufacturing because it became easier to just work locally. Because you know, you didn't really know at the time what was really going on in other countries. And so, at first I was trying to work in Italy, make some shoes in Italy. And I was also looking at China and Mexico. And then since COVID hit and it became just easier to work with people in LA, I ended up making shoes in LA, which, also ended up being a hurdle because obviously it's really expensive. And a lot of times you'll have to get certain components of the shoe imported from other places, which will then make the process longer. So I didn't really expect for the process to take so long, but I actually found it to be a blessing in disguise because I was able to take a step back and really perfect the design that I was working on. I had a pretty good sample before COVID and I was ready to go to market with it. But COVID helped me just take a step back and improve it. And I actually ended up adding, if you check out the shoe, I added the ankle collar that has the foldable feature. So you can wear it as like a high top or a lower top. Yeah. And then I was also able to perfect the design aesthetic and also the functionality of the chain so that it looks and works better than I had it before.
So what are you super excited for in the future? Like you had this first drop or this first collection. What's in the future? Like, and what can you talk to us about that you're really excited about?
So I can't talk too much on it, but I have been working on this one shoe that is, I guess what I'll say is a hybrid of a few shoes in one. And so it kind of plays on that similar theme that I had before. It builds on that similar theme that I had with the high to low top.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to perfect the functionality of that. And then I think once I bring that to market, people will be pretty interested in that one because it's something pretty new.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for you. I think this will be something that a lot of people tune into, that you're just getting started and you can like literally follow the journey, which you can't do for a lot of my guests. So that's why I was super excited to have you on. So I am now trying to ask this question as much as possible because a lot of people gave some interesting answers, and I'm going to ask you, where are you playing it safe right now?
I think with me right now, I'm playing it safe with my capital a little bit. So I haven't been investing a lot in digital marketing, which I know is important, but I am in this position where I spent a lot on my initial inventory. And now I kind of got it all. I kind of got my money tied up in there. And so, right. You know, sales have been good, but that's another hurdle that, you know, people will often have when starting a brand is, the sales don't always meet your expectations. Right. And so not to say that it hasn't been good. I actually, pleasantly surprised by the success of the early stages of the brand, but, definitely I've been playing it safe right now because I don't want to make the same mistake that I made before. So when I make new stuff, I struggle a little bit with how much inventory I want to bring on.
Yeah,
and to really understand how many units I can sell and like what the real demand is for it.
Do you think that's something that you'll learn over time in like constantly coming out with new collections and everything like that? Just like where to spend a lot more money and where to like kind of keep it safe in a sense?
Yeah, definitely. This is all, you know, it's all a learning experience, and I personally am going to grow as the brand grows. And so I definitely think that's something that I'm going to get a hang of and I'm going to be able to figure out better as time goes on. And, you know, with building a brand, with any startup company, it's all about persistence and perseverance. You know, you gotta let it play its course. Nobody is a overnight success as much as people think that that's how it works. It's not like that at all. And so, I think if you just stay persistent, stay hungry, the demand will build. And once the demand builds, you get a better understanding of what you can offer, how many units you can offer. So I think it's at the end of the day about the demand that you build for it.
Mateen, what makes you strange on purpose?
I think what makes me strange on purpose is that I dance to the beat of my own drum. So I don't necessarily go in the same direction that everybody else is going. There's a huge craze in the digital space right now. And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. And it's not necessarily to say that just because everybody else is doing it, I won't do it. Right. Like I may deem that to be the right direction that I want to take, but ultimately I will do that under my own merit. I will do that because it's my decision, because I chose to do that. I won't just go right because everybody else is going right. I may choose to go left because I feel as though it's better for me, but I may choose to go right along with everybody else because I also think that that's better for me. So I guess peer pressure could be something, or, you know, along those lines, but I don't really cave into that.
So, man, where can people like find your work? Where can people find you, follow your journey, and support the brand?
Yeah, so you can follow me at Mateen Zar, MateenZar, on Instagram. And the brand's page is Social Studies Brand. There you will be able to find all the updates and all the latest on some products that we're releasing. I'm pretty excited to introduce some apparel into the mix.
That's cool. That's dope.
Yeah, kind of emulating some of the design aesthetics of the footwear into the apparel.
Yeah.
And just kind of broaden the spectrum of product that we offer. And you can also sign up to our newsletter on our website. And you'll also get some updates pushed to you that way.
Well, Mateen, I thank you for jumping on the Strange on Purpose podcast. And I look forward to doing this again in a year, seeing where you are.
My pleasure. Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
Thank you for listening to the Strange on Purpose podcast. As always, if you enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes before, please like, review, follow the podcast on Instagram, drop a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you check us out. Helps the podcast grow immensely. So I appreciate you. I could not do this without you.